Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
But see, we as Americans have
as a country has survived because industry has kept separate from these casino-like organizations like the Federal Reserve. And also the banks have just been bailed out, like AIG and other banks that have been bailed out. These banks are the cause of the problems in the first place. They are the ones who are creating these instruments and creating credit problems and mortgage problems and creating all kinds of mess. I was watching a program. They were talking about what they would do is they'll give somebody a house, and these people go ahead and start paying on that house, and then a little bit later, what the banks would do without even telling, people who got the mortgage, they would give them a loan, and then what they would actually do is they would split those loans or that mortgage up into five different pieces. And I think that's crazy. The final countdown. You seem to be, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about you, because I really don't talk about anybody on the show. I just kind of like look the other way. You seem to be very opinionated, and you seem to try to point out other people's problems, but you notice I don't come after you. You spending your time in my chat room, which I barely didn't want to open up in the first part of place, you're spending your time in my chat room telling me what I'm doing wrong. Don't you have anything else better to do on a Saturday night, on Sunday night? You kill me. So let me talk to y'all about this ministry and what direction we're going to go to. We're going to actually not pay attention to the chat room because what's been going on lately is a lot of us have been getting harassed by various people on Blog Talk Radio. And I don't time looking for anybody to harass. I've been time looking for it looks like I lost singing over there. I got my cell phone. I couldn't do it off of Skype for some various reasons. I need to contact Blog Talk Radio or trying to get some information on this new Skype they have. But to answer your question, final countdown, the show just started like 10 minutes ago. Do you actually have a life for real? Do you actually have a life? Do you actually have something else to do? And I actually pray for you. Believe it or not, final countdown, I pray for you. If you don't believe in the preacher of rapture, that's fine, but I don't spend my time chasing after you. I mean, I have other things I have to do. I have five kids. I have people to witness to. I have people to preach to. I don't have the time to chase you. Why do you spend your time and your energy chasing me? Evidently, either the devil's have me disconnected and have you on this show messing with me, because most of the time people who are doggone after the truth don't care about people like you. I mean, really. I mean, come on. I mean, for real. You're going to spend most of your time, and this is the last thing, this is the last time I'm ever going to address you, because this is the first time I've ever addressed somebody who's just been messing with people for the longest. Quit going from doggone website to website. Come on. For real. Give me a break. And that's all I'm going to say to you, man. Gosh. Get a life. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to bring our guest on. We'll be back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does. And
warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
Join us on the Prophecy Zone as we talk about world events in line of Bible prophecy, end time revelation, how soon is Jesus Christ coming back to the earth to take his own out. It is a pre-trib rapture that we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. Keep looking up, for the Lord is coming soon.
All right, we're back. We are going to be having Bob Chapman on the show on November 20th this year, of course. Not next year, but this year. I have had a host on my show come on, and she talked about she's not pre-trib. I'm pre-trib, and there's no changing me. I can almost tell you that 100%, because I just don't see any other. You know, you probably ask, why do I let her come on and say, well, it's not. Well, this is what I think. Well, I believe that this is just my point. I won't have too many other people who disagree. Maybe one or two. But this is my point. I think division is too much in the body of Christ, office of issues. Now, I think the pre-trib rapture is important. Here's why, and I'll now bring my guest on. Preeminent. When you don't know when he's coming, you should be in the mindset of being prepared. And if you are a post or a mid, you're looking for the Antichrist. It's Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed of hope and the glorious appearing of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Actually says God, our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Emphasis to that, our Lord, too. God is coming back pretty soon, and it's right around the block. I'm out of the business of saying date. I have a brother who I really care about, is very, very, very keen radar on specific dates. people say I'm a date setter. Please, this individual believes this exact day. I never said that. Now, I do believe Rosh Hashanah still will factor in, but as I said before, we are out of the date setting business. We don't date set, but we do say that war is upon us, and it's very quickly, and I believe it will happen in the near future. Now, if I say I think it's going to happen next spring, am I a date setter? No, I'm not a date setter. And one more thing, when people call you a false prophet for saying this is going to happen tomorrow, that's not a false prophet. A false prophet is, thus saith the Lord, it's going to happen tomorrow. Like Benny Hinn said, Castro will be dead and before the decade is out. Well, he's not dead. That's a false prophet. Please call that guy a false prophet. Well, anyway, let me bring on my guest. Brother Mike?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How are you, Phil?
Pretty good. How you doing? Kind of fired up, ticked off. But I'm trying to get God to give me some grace with this one.
Well, let me make a couple of comments. Mr. Rick Minear from the final Minard, Rick Minard from the final countdown. He's a very passionate believer in what he believes in. He's just like you, and he's just like me, and he certainly is a lot like Matthew from the end time he'll be on later. Very passionate man in what he believes in. And I praise God with what you said. You said you pray for him every day. I pray for him also. He feels he's been sent by God. He feels he has a mission. His calling, his ministry, is to call out false teachers and false prophets and individuals who are speaking and teaching doctrines of devils and demons. Now, he calls my website and my ministry a doctrine of devils, plural, and demons, plural, because I'm like you. I have an assurity and a belief that there will be a blessed hope, that there will be a pre-tribulation rapture. I am not, even as we speak, and as I've been poring over Scripture here over the last couple of weeks, I'm not convinced that by reading one chapter in the Bible, based on the things that Jesus said, I'm not convinced as of yet. And I could change my mind. The Lord could speak to me if this is true. And he could speak to you if this is true. I just really don't think it's meant for any of us to actually know. It is a mystery. It's what Paul referred to as a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, in 1 Corinthians. So it is a mystery, and when we look at the word mystery, if we apply some functionality to the word mystery, as we look at it, what it means to us today, the word mystery is, you know, it's a mystery that there are billions and trillions of stars in the universe. That mystery is how awesome of a God we have that has placed all them stars in the universe, and the mystery behind it is that how did he do it? He spoke into creation. Okay, well, and he spoke it into creation. That's still, you awe at that. It's an awesome wonder. You awe at that. And so I look at the rapture as an awesome wonder, and the word rapture, as it's being used, I guess that's the dagger. That's where people get so upset because of their knowledge, their understanding, what they've been taught or what they've read. As a doctrine from Darby back in the 1830s, the vision that a 14-year-old girl, Martha McDonald, had. But gosh, you can go, it's so much more deeper than that. It goes way before Darby. It was done by St. Jerome in the Catholic Church when he penned the Latin Vulgate. He used the word rapamir and rapamis, or raparis. Those were Latin words to describe what Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians. So And then Jerome was tracked down. He left Rome, went to Bethlehem in Israel, where he was doing the actual translation of the Latin Vulgate at that time. And one of the earliest recordings of the Bible being translated from the original documents, the original Hebrew text and Greek text. And this was the word that he came up with, which was translated in English to the word rapture. You can go, in fact, you can go back before Darby, right around 1738 and 1748, the 1730s, where a son and father Puritan by the name of Increase and Cotton Mather were believers that we would be caught up in the air, followed by judgments on the earth and then the millennium. The term rapture was used by Philip Doddridge in 1738, John Gill in 1748, in their New Testament commentaries. Baptist Morgan Edwards in an essay published in 1788 in Philadelphia. So it proves that, as what some have taught, Darby was not the originator of this particular thought process. He wasn't the originator of it. Now, and perhaps this vision that Martha McDonald had, who's to say, who am I to say that that vision that she had wasn't given to her by God? As a man, am I to say that I know her heart? Because the Bible says that God only knows our hearts. So who's to say that that vision that was given to her was not given to her of God? I couldn't make that judgment call. But at the same time, I will give some credit and throw some credit to Rick Minyard's way of Final Countdown, because we can't know for sure whether or not that was a vision from God either. We don't know if it was or if it wasn't. So I stand where you do, that this has divided the body of Christ, and it's divided the church, and people get incredibly upset when you talk about it. And, you know, I didn't listen to the advice that was given to me by Matthew from the End Time Tribune. He said to me, Mike, he says, if you don't want to cause any problems, he says, then just don't discuss the rapture. Don't discuss it. I believe it in my heart, but I want to see it in Scripture word for word. And thus far, Phil, so far in the last 2 weeks, I've not leaned any other way other than the fact that there will be a great gathering, a general assembly. There will be, and that according to where I've read it so far, that this sounds to me as a separate event than what Jesus was speaking of in Matthew chapter 24. So that's that'll be my 2 cents in on the rapture.
All right, brother. So what have you been looking at in the news pertaining to Bible prophecy?
Man, there's so many things that are going on that align themselves with what did Jesus say? There'll be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. We recently just had this huge 400,000 kilometer ring that was in the sun. Scientists couldn't figure out exactly what it was, but it was on the side facing the earth. And just yesterday, I'm reading an article right now, last night, sky watchers in Southern California and Nevada witnessed a bright light cutting across the evening sky. It was a Delta II rocket from the Vandenberg Air Force Base carrying Italy's Cosmos SkyMed 4 satellite to Earth orbit. This article goes along to say that as that was happening, there was an active sunspot. NASA calls it 1121, had just unleashed one of the brightest X-ray solar flares in years. A M5.4 class solar flare eruption happened at 1536 hours on November 6th. I'm looking at a picture of it right now as I'm talking to you, and macro, it was huge. It was huge. They say that this one, this will not have any effect on the Earth. They don't know for sure. They're making a scientific assumption that's not going to affect Earth at all. And then at the same time, we had these fireballs that appeared over the night sky in Canada. And I was looking at that also, and they, so far there's been no explanation for what they were. So these signs and wonders in the sky, I'm pretty sure that if Matthew, who comes on later on, he might have more information regarding to these. Perhaps, maybe not, if he's not read about them, but I'm pretty sure he knows. He's up. Yep, I'm sure he's up on it. So I'm sure he's probably read something about it.
Yeah, I'm hoping he drops through the chat room, because I got a number popping up on my board, but I really don't want to answer any other phone calls but his. So I don't know if it's his area code or not. You know, you familiar with his area code?
Yeah.
575.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna see if that's him. Hold on for a second. Hey, brother.
Is this Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, Phil. This is Rick with the Final Countdown.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. You made some statements about why I do what I do, and that you pray for me.
Yeah.
Okay, and you also have Michael Parker on, who we had on 3 weeks ago. And it just boils down to one simple thing, that's all. Actually, there are several scriptures that cover it, but it boils down to one thing. If you're going to work for Jesus Christ, then you can't be a liar. And the truth has to be found within you. And it can't be if you're taking dogma or doctrine that was started, and we'll even go all the way back to the Vulgate, as Michael pointed out, by the Catholic Church. You see, they're the biggest apostate on the planet, bar none. And Jesus railed on the religious elect of his day and called them more of a son of hell than the person they went after. So my point is that when you set yourself up, and most people do, without being called to a ministry, they set themselves up. I've been doing this 40 years. I never wanted to do it at all.
So are you a cop? Are you a heretic hunter or a cop? Are you the Holy Spirit who tells people what not to do and what to do? Are you so
no,
full
the
of
Bible
the Holy...
is full of that.
Are you so full of the Holy Ghost that you can tell me what I should be doing and what you should be doing? And, I mean,
not doing that, though, Philip. I'm not doing
that. All right. Well, that's that for that. I had no intention of having him on my show, but I know that's kind of rude to do it that way, but sometimes you just got to cut off people because that's causing division. To me, it's just causing division. I'm not going to sit up here and just listen to his rhetoric, because here's the deal. You got the Bible. I don't care about history. If you take an 8-year-old child with the Bible by him or herself, that child is not going to be considered of history. The just shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. Faith of what the Word of God says, not with some historical lady who had a dream. I don't care about that stuff. I can't, the gospel, if God wanted to have a book in the Bible that talks about this lady having a dream, he would have done that.
Right.
He gave us 66 books of the Bible so we can go forth and proclaim the gospel. Now, if you want to say God didn't send me to preach the gospel, that's fine. That's on you. But you know what? I'm going to tell you this. I would rather be a dishwasher in the house of God than a doggone somebody in a rich palace doing nothing for nobody. That's the way I look at it. So for you to tell me, I'm not after it for money. I don't have any money, son. I'm just a brother. I don't have any money. If you want to see somebody going out there for money, you would see at least a donation sign on my on Blog Talk page. You don't see any of that stuff. Even if I had a website, you barely see it then. But come on. Come on, man. I mean, I don't care if you've been doing it for 40 years. I've been born for 42 years. I mean, heck, I'm bragging that I'm alive. I'm bragging that I'm alive. There's no bragging in the kingdom of God. I hate that. When somebody says, oh, I've been preaching the gospel for 50 years, the Bible says you let somebody else pat you on the back. You don't pat yourself on the back. That reveals you right there. I don't care if you've been preaching it for 100 years. Jesus only came down here for 3 years to preach the gospel. I mean, so what do you say? Oh, wow, he's only preached the gospel for three years? I mean, for real. Why? Oh, man. I'll tell you what. You can call me a heretic as long as you want to, because this is the proof that I'm doing the God's word, because you're coming after me. If I didn't hold some type of truth, you wouldn't be coming after me. Now, if I told you, now then Chase Benny Hinn, once you start your show, chase the real true heretics, the ones that said Jesus is him, God and the devil are his brothers. Chase the Mormons. Do me a favor. Go ahead and chase Paul Crouch, who says God, he is a God. I'm a little God. You go chase him instead of chasing me. You find something besides me saying, oh, war might start next week. Okay, I'm wrong. I didn't see verse says the Lord. Oh, verse says the Lord. The war might start next week. I'll be wrong then. I'll be a false prophet. Until you can find me on my radio program that I say God told me something that he didn't tell me, then I'll be a false prophet. Read your Bible. I'm going to take a break, brother. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
I'll take a break, and I'll be right back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone.
gospel of Jesus Christ is simple. It's a simple message, and we complicate it by having our different denominations and differences, and we complicate it by having our own opinion. I like it what somebody said in the chat room. You know, this individual from the Final Countdown is angry that I do not agree with him. And I'm not angry that you don't agree with me. I have a lady on the show that doesn't even believe in pre-trib. But do I crucify her? No. I believe that the Word of God should be the thing that we should be using. Now, if you want to go back and study history, see, what I learned when I was in the Army, and I was a new, well, about 4 years old as a new Christian, I learned that it's important to stick with the Bible first before you read other people's books, because what you're doing is you're taking, it's like a dollar bill, a counterfeit. You study the real dollar bill. You don't study the counterfeit. Study the real dollar bill so you can know if what somebody's feeding you in one of these books is legit according to the Word of God. I don't believe that someone should attack another person just because they pre-trib and you're post-trib or mid-trib or whatever. I'm almost to the point of thinking about not even opening up chat rooms and doing anything, no calls or anything, because I've done that for a while. And just tonight, I'll just say, well, I'll open up a chat room and see how it goes. But evidently, it's just seconding my motion. And I'm also, and one more thing, I'll start talking back to my guests. The main thing is the Word of God. And the main thing is that Jesus is the creator of all things, and he is the one who died on the cross for our sins. And on that cross, he paid for the penalty for our sins. And we are all, by faith, brought into the kingdom of God, brought into his children. So when we start dividing against secondary issues, now, if you deny that that the resurrection has taken place, that's the first issue. But the rapture of the church, to me, is a secondary issue. Now, when you start telling me that Jesus paid the penalty in hell, like some of these other false prophets, then I have a problem with that. So go chase some of those other real true heretics. I promise you, I don't go looking for anybody else who's a heretic. I have guests on the TV, on this program, on this network, who talk about false prophets. But we only look at people who actually are false prophets. These people, you can go on my blog talk radio page and listen to Paul Krause say we are little gods. I mean, I got the evidence. Now, if you want to call me a heretic, that's fine. You know, I mean, I don't get paid for this. I mean, if you want to, I know you would be lying about me, but that's fine, because doesn't that look like to you the devil's work? I mean, think about it. I haven't done anything to nobody. I mean, you got me 10 minutes on my show, Final Countdown. You got me 8 minutes into my show talking about finance, because I could have twisted it and took the script and said we need to practice according to God's will, be the head and not the tail. But you didn't give me a chance to say anything. You were judging me before. Spend some of your time working on your radio program, and I'll do the same thing. That's why you haven't heard me for a while. I've been working on my radio program. And you are right on some issues, and I won't tell you what you're right about, because I'll give you the upper hand. But I'll give you a for instance. Somebody had came onto my page and wrote a comment. You spend 2 hours blabbing, and while shorter shows are being more effective. So I learned from that. The only time I'm going to have 2-hour shows is when I have two guests like I have tonight. Other than that, if I'm going to talk, it's going to be 45 to 30 minutes unless I'm really good on the topic. Okay? So whoever out there, thank you for teaching me that. So I can learn off of mistakes. But the rapture of the church is not going to be changed. So quit messing with me, please. I'll pray for you again, and please just don't bother me with it. If you want to call me a heretic, then let me join the ranks of Tim LaHaye and Jack Van Impey and all those other guys. We just go all to burn in hell together. How about that? Thank you. So, okay, brother, I'm almost wishing I didn't have any guests on tonight so I can laugh for another 2 hours.
Well, how about this, Phil? 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, let's stop and think about that verse right there within its text just by itself, because there's a tremendous story in 2 Chronicles, the entire chapter, the couple of chapters that are talking about the story behind why this was said. But I would like to take just this verse. Imagine this. Out of everything that's been written in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, is it or is it not possible that if every human being on the face of the planet would do exactly what this says, would their sin be forgiven? If they accepted Christ, if they repented of their sin, would their sin be forgiven? Yes, it would. Would God heal their land? Yes, he would. Would the Bible then be fulfilled the way it was written? If every person on the face of the planet came to know Christ, what a glorious thing that would be. And their land would be healed. Now, I don't know if this is not biblical or not. I don't know if I'm out of context here or not by saying this, but from Genesis to Revelation, what would happen then? Would God's plan continue as what it states it is from Matthew chapter 24 of the end time, the end of the age? Would God's wrath still be poured out upon man, or would it stop? And would God be pleased, and the land would be healed, and everyone who, every man, woman, and child on the face of the planet who accepted Christ, would he heal their land? It says he would. Would there be no book? Would the book of Revelation, would it be fulfilled? Would it happen? Would it still happen? Now, that's kind of an odd question, and I know, and I'm wondering about that, and you know, truly. Personally, I believe, my own personal belief here is that God would forgive all of their sin. He says he will, and he'll heal their land. If they turn from their wicked ways, he'll hear from heaven, and he would heal their land. And so, therefore, all those folks who accepted Christ, all those folks who looked to Christ, then would everything stop? Would everything change? Would it be fulfilled for Christ to return at that time without the wrath of God being poured out? And I think most people probably would say, I don't think so, because of the way the Word of God is written, because of the plan that God has, and, of course, the wrath that's going to be unleashed. So, I mean, I'm not for sure. I really don't know. But let's throw that out there for maybe some of your listeners who are listening who might have the answer to that. But getting back to, I guess, to end time prophecy, things that are happening. How about the economy, huh?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Pumping $600 billion into the system by next summer.
Oh, my gosh. Here's another quantitative easing that Bernanke is calling it. And, you know, I think if the real truth would be revealed here in reference to what Bernanke's going to do, the $600 billion, why aren't we getting this money from China? Or why aren't we getting it from Japan? I mean, China's basically our bank. Why aren't we getting it from them? And ding, 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 the answer to that is they don't want to give it to us. So the Fed has to take the necessary steps. Now, why is the Fed willing to pump another $600 billion into the economy? Because that number is a really big number, and it sounds good, or perhaps it might actually go higher than that. The 870 billion has they claim that a lot of it has been already repaid by the banks, and I'm not so sure about that. We have a jobless recovery. We have unemployment still hovering around 10%. We have 2 million people who are going to be out of unemployment come here very shortly, the end of this month, if Congress doesn't do something. We have what the Republicans took control of what? They took control of the House?
Yeah.
And then we have the Senate still partly in control, but then Nancy Pelosi is actually trying to – she wants to be minority speaker, so – I instead of the majority speaker, I guess what you said in the beginning, this truly is a step. Hopefully, it appears to be a step in the right direction to slow down the things that the Obama administration was pushing us towards. But then we take a look at what our president so graciously done here. He's now over in India, costing the American taxpayer $200 million a day.
Yeah. and the thing is, brother, it's not as if – I mean, we pray for our president. That's not what we want our listeners to not think. But I don't believe that we are in a position that we are resisting government when we say bad things about the president. Resisting government is not paying your taxes or just – completely or disobeying the laws and things like that, but $200 million a day.
Well,
come on now.
He took 3,000 people with him, and you and I weren't one of them. Neither was Matthew of End Time Tribune or Rick or anybody on Blog Talk Radio. We're all still stuck here, you know, trying to do the Lord's work. Not a bad thing. But $200 million a day. We got 3,000 people that went. There was 40 jets. They took six armored vehicles. They took, quote unquote, the Beast limo was entitled the Beast, built specifically for President Obama when he took office. They have 38 battleships off the coast of India in the country, floating up and down the coast. 38 battleships or 38 ships. So this is unprecedented security for any president at any time. And I watched a video, AP Associated Press release video this morning of President Obama signing the guest book at Gandhi's house and how much Gandhi was an inspiration to him. I watched the First Lady dancing with some little children. And then they got President Obama to get up and dance. And so, and apparently this is also, they took some high-ranking elite banking officials. I wonder who they are. They took those along with them to hopefully strike several billion dollars in deals with India and the United States. So perhaps this has a silver lining for the country, for jobs. But unfortunately, I don't lean towards that. I have a tendency to think that there's a lot of deception behind what's going on. There was an article written from WorldNet Daily exclusive about Obama will possibly turn on Israel after the midterm elections. It was written by Aaron Klein of WorldNet Daily. He states that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is shaking from fear about the policies that President Obama will enact towards Israel after this week's midterm elections, a senior Palestinian Authority official told WND. The Palestinian official, as well as security sources in Egypt and Jordan, said they heard from the Obama administration an outline of a series of moves to pressure Israel after the November 2nd vote. Among the moves would be holding back support for Israel when it comes to future resolutions condemning the Jewish state at the United Nations. I read an article that Europe said that it will the European Union wants to force through the United Nations Israel to give up the area of land so that the Palestinian can become a state. Also, the U.S. is likely to tactically back the Palestinian threat to unilaterally declare a state at the UN Security Council if Netanyahu fails to reach an agreement with the PA. So this man who has been interviewed by Joel Rosenberg, who is an excellent commentator for End Time Prophecy regarding Israel, Netanyahu said that he knows he's under the gun. He knows that these things are bringing this time to a close for the state of Israel, and I believe we're going to see, as Brother Matthew will say in the next hour, very articulately will say, I believe we're going to see some very dark times for Israel. Now, the sources said that Obama administration has already quietly dropped U.S. opposition to the Palestinian President Mohammed Abbas forging a unity deal with Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So Israel may already be done for, according to Aaron Klein's book, The Late Great State of Israel. So we really need to pray for Israel. I mean, we really do need to pray for the Jewish people. And we need to pray that God will have his way. I believe that there are a lot of listeners who don't pay attention. My ministry and my radio broadcasts, your ministry, your radio broadcasts, they really don't pay attention to what's going on in Israel. They don't pay attention, and this is God's timepiece. This is his chosen people. You know, some folks may argue with the fact that the Jews are just the elect. I think the Christians also, who are the body of Christ, are the elect also. But I believe that God has demonstrated throughout history in the Bible that our Father God has dealt with Israel and the church inseparably. He's dealt with them separately. Things have been done separately with them. And so I do believe that by that parallel of God treating and doing things differently with Israel, treating us separately, and Israel at the end when the Antichrist is revealed, being regrafted in and a covenant being reestablished with God, I think those who have not paid attention to Israel and have not studied Scripture according to the traditions, the things that have happened in Israel, and according to what the Jews have believed, and in this mindset of what's transpiring in Israel, they're going to be very sorry that they did not do so. God didn't turn his back on the Jews. He has not turned his back on the Jews. They will worship Christ when he returns. Christ will be their Messiah. They will know that he is their Messiah. And I had a comment made to me one time when I was talking about this that, well, Mike, you know, I'm not a Jew, so why are you telling me about this? Well, that makes me feel grievous inside, because although we're not Jews and we were grafted in, we were adopted into the family of God by accepting Christ as our Savior, we really do need to understand that the origins of where Christ came from. First of all, Christ was a Jew, and he preached to the Jews, and he preached to the Hebrews and the Gentiles, and he preached to Greek people. I mean, this is where it all originated. So then, therefore, why should that not have any type of meaning or structure or substance behind it? It, in my opinion and in my belief and studying Scripture and keeping an eye on what's going on in Israel, it certainly does mean that we're in very dark times, approaching very dark times, living very precarious times too.
Yes, indeed. And like I said earlier, as this ministry, we decided to stay away from date setting, but at the same time, it's important that we do understand that Jesus is returning, and when we say it's close, it can be really close.
Yeah. I'm sure you probably – did you read Daniel Mattson's latest commentary?
Yeah.
So then you know that on at approximately – you're in Pacific time, so at 3:04 in the morning – tomorrow morning at 3:44 in the morning, it will be 4:44 sunset in Israel.
Yeah.
And it'll be 6:44 here in Michigan when the sun sets in Israel at 4:44 p.m.
Hmm. Wow. Well, this thing that we are doing at our ministries, and me and your ministry, hopefully, I know your numbers is probably going up like mine, and we have an opportunity to preach the gospel to many people. If you ask me, I would prefer Christ to have came back a while back, but it did not happen. So
no.
I'm praying that it's close. I'm praying that it's a week away or a year away, at least 2 years away, but please don't be five.
Here's what I would caution about it, though, Phil, and here's what I'm going to say to you as a brother in Christ. I love you to death, and I love your show, and I'm taking a chance. I have a blessed hope that Christ is going to return soon. I would love to see him. I would love to see the bride of Christ, the church, be taken out, and the supper of the Lamb, and have the wedding feast in heaven, the 7 years that we get to spend with Christ in while the tribulation period is going on. But you know what? In the event that you or I or anyone else or the millions of people in this world have interpreted Scripture wrong and that's not how it's going to happen, do you know what? I really don't care. I love my Lord so much that if He wants me to go through a tribulation period and to endure till the end, then so be it. I mean, we take a look at the disciples. We see what happened to the disciples. Every single one of them were martyred. Every single one of them. Paul, as an apostle, he was martyred. Every single one of them were. Although James says, it is not appointed us to see the wrath of God, perhaps those who believe in a mid-trib, they could have a portion of this right too. We might see things that we didn't expect that we were going to see. And I think what folks like Rick and others who don't believe in a rapture, what their main concern is this. And this is from my heart to your listeners. If you believe that if Christ is going to return and you believe in a rapture, let me tell you something. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, pray that you are found worthy to escape these things. So therefore, here is what you need to do. You need to examine yourself before God. You need to examine your life before God. You need to look at yourself in the mirror, and you need to say, Lord, am I worthy to escape these things? Because the rapture or the great gathering or the snatching away, whatever you want to call it, it's not a condition of salvation. It does. What that means is that if you go and you say a prayer and you accept Christ into your heart and now you're saved, it doesn't mean that that's a condition of salvation. Because Christ said, pray that you are worthy to escape all these things. So therefore, the question is, how do I know whether or not I'm worthy enough? Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father shall enter. And what is the will of God? The will of God are the words that Jesus speaks. So this is therefore perhaps the most critical point of folks like Rick and others who truly believe that the rapture is a lie, because it will then send people to hell. Those people who think, and your listeners, anyone who's unsaved, or you've been saved, but you're not living a life that's pleasing to God, repent of your sin. I beg that you do that this evening before you get down on your knees and repent of your sin. repent of all your sin and ask God to forgive you and seek holiness. Seek being separate from the world. Seek serving Christ. If it's getting on Blog Talk Radio and giving your testimony, if it's going down to the gas station and when you pump gas, give your testimony, if it's buying groceries for someone who's in need, if it's giving your coworker a cold drink of water, whatever it may be, you seek the Word of God and follow what the things that Christ did, because our profession in faith means absolutely nothing. You can go door to door in your neighborhood and in my neighborhood and knock on the door and ask people, hey, you know what? Are you a Christian? And every single one of them will probably say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And then you'll take a survey. Okay. So, for instance, I know of a lot of folks, Phil, I know a lot of folks who claim that they know Christ and they live no different than the world. And yes, this is where these folks are truly, this is why I understand Rick's passion behind what he believes in. I don't agree, as with you, that he needs to attack us in the form that he's doing, because he's trying to Matthew chapter 18 us. He's trying to point us out through Matthew chapter 18. And we do not fellowship with him. We are not in church with him. We are not part of a church where there's elders and a pastor and a fivefold ministry. We're just individuals out preaching God's word as evangelists trying to get folks to come to Christ. That's all. That's what I really want, folks to know Christ, because time is so short. So the bottom line is this. Live your life as if you're going to be here 1,000 years. Plan it and do for Christ what you can do for him as if you were going to be alive for 1,000 years. But understand that it could end tomorrow, and that also could mean with his coming and the beginning of the tribulation period. That's all. That's what I'm saying. Just live your life and live it out in holiness and in separate of the world, and do your best for Christ. And pray that you're found worthy. Make that part of your prayer every single night, that you humble yourself to God and pray that you're found worthy to escape these things. And I believe the reason why Jesus said that is that it wasn't an acronym to something. He said that because there are and will be people who will be found worthy to escape all those things. Enoch was one of them. Noah was one of them. Elijah was one of them. Moses went up into the cloud and spoke to God. Moses, there are many, many parallels and examples of how Christ could literally snap his hands, his fingers, and say, come up hither, and the dead in Christ would rise, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air. So I don't have this authoritative mindset, and I don't really want to, Phil. You know why? Because I want to remain green and humble in the Lord. I don't want to sound like I'm Paula White, who gets on television and said before her divorce that she came under a priestly anointing and that Jesus was not the only begotten Son of God. I don't want to become a Benny Hinn who said, I'm speaking this into creation right now, where these men and these women, they get so puffed up in their belief that they speak the only truth that there is, and then they go beyond that and say these things that are heinous and that are here. It's blasphemy against the Lord. It's not true. All it is for entertainment and for purposes of showing. They could come on your broadcast or my broadcast and do the same exact thing that we're saying. They could be saying, you know what, that was in my heart, and that's what I said, and I believe that. But does it line up with Scripture? Yeah. That's the only thing. Does it line up with Scripture? So, I pray for those who don't see eye to eye with each one of us and the things that we believe. I'm not a heretic. A heretic is someone who believes that there's no Trinity. A heretic believes that Jesus wasn't the Son of God. A heretic would teach a dogma that that Jesus never rose from the dead. And yes, the Catholic Church has taught many, many heretic things, and they're the sons of the devils and from hell, and that's true. But what was left out is that St. Jerome was penning the Latin Vulgate, translating that. He was on the run. He had left the Catholic Church. According to the article that I read, when he died in 368 A.D. in Bethlehem after the translation. His translation was found, and they took what he wrote about the Latin word rapius or rapamir, when it was written in the Latin Vulgate, they took it out. Much like the church, the Catholic Church, according to their authority, they went ahead and changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And many other things that the Catholic Church has done. I'm sure there might be Catholics listening to your broadcast this evening. If they know Christ and they believe in Christ and they believe that Christ is their Savior and they follow God's Word, who am I to say that I know their heart and that since they attend Catholic Church, they're going to hell? I can't say that. I can't say that to them. If they're following what a priest is saying and they never open up their Bible and they believe everything that man is telling him, then there's a problem with that, because we have to open up God's Word and read it. And I'm guilty of that, Phil. I'm still trying to finish reading through the entire Bible right now. I haven't read through the entire Bible yet. So I'm guilty of that myself. So I ask the Lord to help me with that, and to so that I can finish it. I want to finish it before the end of the year, but I see my time is pretty much up right now.
Well, I don't see Brother Matthew on the line. Hopefully, I didn't give him the wrong day or anything. He's pretty accurate with being where he's supposed to be at. So I have no idea what's going on. I might just continue with you until the bottom of the hour, and then call it in the night. What is it? 55 minutes. Can I hold you for 20 minutes?
Yeah, you sure can, brother.
Okay, I'm gonna take a quick break, and we will be back.
All right.
Out there, this is Phil Armstrong from the Prophecy Zone. Join me on November 20th, 2010 at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time as we welcome to the show Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, as we talk about the soon coming economic crash and the currency that will be one day worth zero. Please pray for America and join us that night as we would talk about these things and much more. Stay informed. The Prophecy Zone has been on Blog Talk Radio for over a year, and we have reached thousands. But we would love to reach more, millions more, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, warning the world of impending judgment and how you can escape these things that is coming upon the earth. But we need your help. If you like our show, please favor us on Facebook and also favor us on Blog Talk Radio. God bless.
Okay, we're back. Brother Matthew, is that you?
Oh, hello. Sorry about that.
This is Brother Matthew, is this you?
No, my name's Robert Scott. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. I'm known on Blog Talk Radio as Snake Chaser. I just want to tell you straight up ahead of time, I'm not here. I won't cause any contention. I'm not here to, you know, call anyone out or do anything like that. But I did have a quick question for Michael Parker and a point I wanted to make, if that was okay.
All right, go for it.
Thanks, bud. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, just real quick, because twice on two programs I've heard you mention it, and I don't want to make a big deal out of it, the changing of the Sabbath day that mm-hmm. the Catholic Church did.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently you read something for an interview from a guy who unfortunately was from the Catholic Church and claimed that there was no scriptural authority to change the day of the Sabbath. But Colossians verse 2:16, written by Paul, is pretty clear. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days. So the point that the whole thing that the day of the week that the Sabbath falls on, according to Colossians, doesn't matter. It's the observance of a Sabbath day that matters. And then even those things Paul tends to push down and not give much weight to, because they're shadows of realities. You know what I'm saying?
I think the gentleman who we're speaking of is Kevin Stevens. And he wrote back in the late 30s, early 40s, a 174-page booklet from the diocese in New York called Doctrinal Catechism.
Mm-hmm.
And on page 174 is where he made this claim that if she, referring to the Catholic Church, had no authority to change, if she had no authority to change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, she wouldn't have done so. So what he's in retrospect stating is that the Catholic Church took authority over God to change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, and I believe the question that was presented to them was in also about the festivals or the feasts. You can correct me if I'm wrong on this, Robert, because I know that your knowledge in this area is incredibly, you're well respected in the Blog Talk community, Blog Talk Radio, for your knowledge about the Bible, and you have an excellent radio show on your Bible reading. But what were not the feasts given to Moses as an observance that the Jews were supposed to keep forever and ever?
They're part of the old covenant, yes, but we've moved into a new relationship, which is outlined in Hebrews. And I'm quoting Paul directly here from Colossians. This is Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. There's no judgment to be passed on what day the Sabbath falls on. There's no judgment to be made in respect of any holy day in the food we eat or in the drink we drink, according to Colossians 2:16. So it's the observance of a day of Sabbath. It's not the day of the week that falls on it. It falls on is really the issue. And then Paul goes on further to say these things are just shadows of realities. This is why they shouldn't carry the kind of weight that causes contention between men.
Mm.
So unfortunately, what you read and unfortunately, you know, because I openly admit all the time, it's been a long time since I've been to church. My relationship with God has gotten to the point where I hope everyone gets. It's a personal relationship between me and God.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, having been educated by a Catholic, educational system, I feel embarrassed that the Catholic author you read didn't know the scriptural validation for the changing of the Sabbath. And it was really done to set Christians apart from Jews, right or wrong. You know, by putting the Sabbath on a different day than the Sabbath that the Jews were accustomed to and traditionally observed it on, the Christians were officially saying, we're a separate group. We're not under your authority anymore.
And I think I would agree with that, because we've been, as Christians, we're grafted in. We're considered, as Gentiles, we're considered adopted children and grafted in. So do you think, and this is something you and I haven't had a chance really to talk about, but do you think that the things that the Jews are doing, Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox Jews, and what's going on in Israel, the announcement of the reestablishment of their covenant with God, the sacrifices on the portable altar that was created this past Passover, do you think that, in your opinion, that God is not honoring what the Jews are doing?
Well, God's clearly stated in the Scripture several times, even in the Old Testament, that it's not blood sacrifices that he wants.
Right.
I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And that he told that to the Jewish peoples before Christ came and repeated it to the Pharisees and the scribes. He clearly said in the Gospel of Matthew, you know, if you knew what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. If they knew what that meant today, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. So, but I, you know, that's an area I really don't want to get too deeply into, because I'm not a Hebrew. Abraham's my father. He's the father of the faith, but I have no Jewish nationality.
Mm-hmm.
I never practiced the Jewish religion. I don't celebrate the Jewish feast days. So, you know, the Scripture's clear. God doesn't want sacrifices. He wants mercy.
Right.
So,
amen.
I really just wanted to kind of point that point out, because you've used it to back up the rapture a few times, and I don't think it's a valid way to back it up.
Well, I think what I wanted to point out was not the fact to back up the rapture, but was the fact that here's something that was being done. I don't agree with what the Catholic Church had done. I mean, I don't agree with it. I understand what you're saying, and I understand what Scripture is saying, what Paul's saying. I'm a little confused. How then do we ignore everything that is being stated in the Old Testament about the law? How are we supposed to ignore that?
We don't ignore it. Matthew Miller, actually, who is supposed to be your second guest tonight, and I'll speak a few of his words. Hopefully he doesn't mind me taking his words and using them, but I'm sure he'll say they're God's, not his. You can't love your brother and steal from him. You can't love your brother and honor your mother and father. You can't love your brother and covet his goods. You can't love your brother and covet his wife.
Mm-hmm.
In the John 13:34, love one another as I have loved you. Christ committed no sin. So
hey, hold on for a second. Caller, who is this?
My name's Robert.
Robert, how you doing?
Yeah.
You have a question?
Did you have another caller, Phil?
Yeah, Robert.
Robert's been on with me. Is there another one?
Who is the other caller?
Still here. Am I still here? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear
you.
Good.
The other caller's in the chat room. It's Revival Fire, Mike.
That'd be Mike Bradford.
Oh, okay.
Mike's on fire brother in the Lord. He's a great guy.
Mike?
Hey, so, you know, if you want to, let me just wrap up and I'll stop, because I feel like I hijacked your show and I apologize for that.
Yeah.
I, if you, you know, if you want to send me a message, I'll trade a couple messages with you and we can talk about the rest of that. But John 13:34, if you're keeping John 13:34, it's almost impossible. I don't see how you could do that and not break the, not keep the law, especially the Ten Commandments. And the standard's a little bit higher, too, because Christ said, you know, regarding adultery, I tell you, any man who looks on another woman with lust in his eyes has already committed adultery in his heart.
Right.
Now, the law would never have convicted a man of that. But under Christ, who knows our hearts, we have to play things a little tighter, a little closer to the vest now than we used to have to.
So then, in your opinion, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, with all the things that's going on in Israel, with what the Jews are doing, what do you think? What is happening? Is there anything that goes along with it as far as Scripture is concerned? Are the Jews still God's chosen people?
Sure, they are. Okay. God clearly stated that Israel is the apple of his eye, and to say anything differently is to speak directly against God.
That's right.
What's going on in Israel? What's going on in Israel is exactly what needs to go on to fulfill God's plan.
And right.
I don't, you know, that's my opinion on the whole thing.
That's good. Well, it's always, Phil, it's always great. This man that you've got, he's on right now, he's a wealth of walking knowledge. He's just like Matthew. I don't know who's more knowledgeable when it comes to the Bible, him or Matthew, but
Matthew's 100 miles ahead of me. He knows.
Is he really?
He's way better, way better. Uh-huh. Phil, thank you for the time. Michael,
thanks for
entertaining my questions. Have a great day. God bless, guys.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. Okay, bro. Revival Fire, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, Bill, this is a good show. Michael, this is a good show. But I would like to interact with something here, what you were saying there, Michael. You know, well, you asked the question, what's going to happen? I tell you, all hell's getting ready to break loose.
That's right.
You know, it's going to bust wide open, but meanwhile, behind the scenes, we have got to be about the kingdom's, the Father's business in his kingdom, getting all these souls out of hell before this thing implodes. The whole thing's going to implode, and we've got to be on the fire and rescue team out here and getting these souls out of the pit, because they're people that are on fire but going to burn for eternity, and I don't want their blood upon my hands. I want to be out just ministering the gospel like you guys and just compelling these people to come into the kingdom of God. You know, I mean, Planet X, it might slam into our planet at any time. You know, the fact is, you know, I'm going to heaven, but I want to take all these people with me, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what that the Lord's put upon my heart and others. And I'm sure you guys is too, is just that, you know, sound the alarm like you're doing and just saying we've got to come into the kingdom. You've got to come in if you want to get into this ark, because, you know, all hell's going to break loose and it's going to come because 2 Chronicles 7:14, we haven't done. We haven't came and repented of our sins. I have to repent of my sins every day. I'm sure you guys do too. We've got to come before the Lord, you know, and like it's saying in that scripture, then he'll heal our land. I don't care. You could get the whole thing packed out with Democrats or the Republicans or whatever, and that isn't going to change anything because there's still greed. The spirit of greed is still in the White House. You know, we got the man in the White House now that's over here in India causing $222 billion a day. That's more than the war in Iraq and Afghanistan going on. And what is people doing? They're not doing anything. I really could care less about it, but we're all going to implode as a nation because we've got away from God. And that's the main thing.
Yeah.
And time's way too short, guys. And I know you know that. Time is, we're ticking out. And I'm just on the watchman on the wall like others. I'm doing cartwheels now, and I've got flares going and everything else trying to get people's attention that there's a bridge out and there's an eternity that they're going to face, and I sure don't want that blood upon my hands, dear brothers. I tell you, this is a great show you guys are doing. You just keep plugging away. You know, you're gonna have some opposition, but hey, what does that do? It gets you stronger in the Lord. You know, you're gonna get stronger. You're gonna get all them rough edges knocked off of you. And I like getting on, when I have my shows, opening the chat rooms up, because I get to interact with the people, see where they're coming from, you know, and you've got to have control like you do, Bill. You know, you got to have control of it because time's too short. We've got to get this gospel out and just be beating the hedges and the byways, just compelling people to come in. And the main thing is just loving on people and forgiving people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that unforgiveness of, just forgiving him. And when you mention their name, you don't bow up like an old boar coon in the corner, you know. Yeah, and I've done that before because I really didn't have that true repentance of forgiveness.
Yeah.
You just mention the name, I'd get all, start pulling my hair out or something, you know. And the Lord said, now, you know, you haven't forgave that individual, Mike. Who are you trying to kid? You know, you're not trying to kid myself, you know. So it's just giving the love out, that unconditional love. And, you know, all this other stuff, and I'm not going to say what it is because it's already heated up already. I'm not going to draw any attention to it. But it's, you know, we should have Jesus as the main common denominator and love to go along with it, to have compelling people to come in. Because, man, I just want to take as many people as I can before all this stuff implodes, before whatever happens. Because another thing, I'll end with this. If the Muslims go and start chopping people's heads off, I'd like to get at the end of the line and get as many people as I can get saved before I get my head chopped off, you see?
There you go. There you go.
You know, I mean, that's what I've got to keep in mind. If I go to a FEMA camp, same thing. I'm going to get back here and I'm going to start preaching. And they'll be chasing me around like a rat in a tunnel trying to chase and get me down because I'm going to just spread the gospel wherever I go. You know, and whatever happens, because I believe at this, and I'll end at this note. If there was a line of fire and lead flying everywhere, if it wasn't my time to go, I could walk right on through it and nothing touch me.
Yeah.
You know, and if I do get hit by lead and keel over, hey, I'm homeward bound. You know, I can tell people, do not tempt me with heaven. Do not tempt me with heaven, you know. So glory to God. You just keep going what you're doing, Brother Bill and Mike. And you just, I love you all, everybody in the chat room. Love you too. Catch you all later. You have a blessed evening.
Amen. God bless you.
Yeah, that man, he's on fire, brother. He's first time I heard him come on and speak on one of his shows. He's been the exact same way ever since. I mean, His attitude, his enthusiasm, his commitment, his energy is always the same. He loves the Lord with all his heart, and certainly a man of God, and good old country boy too.
yeah, I heard that. Well, thanks a lot, Mike, for coming on. I want to get you back in the near future. I was hoping I had both of y'all, but I'll check out what happened, and we'll try to plan another day. But thank you so much.
Phil, it's always a pleasure, and it was good hearing your voice. It's been a little while, so, and I've been listening to your shows, so your broadcast.
Yeah.
So keep it up, keep your faith up, and don't the devil comes and attacks, so no matter how, which way, or whatever way it happens, man. Just, and for your listeners, when the enemy comes and attacks, you put on the armor of God and you stand firm and on the promises of God, and he'll see you through it.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much. You have a wonderful night. God
you too,
bless.
Brother.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye. That was Michael Parker from Prophecies of the End Time Ministry, and I'd like to thank him for coming on. We are going to go off a little bit early, but we are going to look at a series, and I've already started the series, and a series called World War 6000, and we're going over 6,000 years of Satan's attacks on us, and how we can live victoriously in the Lord. If y'all don't mind, make sure y'all check out the other hosts on Prophecy Zone. They're wonderful hosts. Rhonda Johnson, she's good on apologetics. She looks at also different types of doctrines and the Mormon faith and the different types of faith, and compares it with what the Bible has to say. And also Christina Wick, she just wrote a book called Explain This, and it's about Revelations, and the book of Revelations chronological, actually verse by verse, about Revelation. So check her out. And also Susan Pozio. She's on Blog Talk Radio also. She has a show called Prophetic News, and a wonderful show proclaiming the true gospel and searching out those who are in error. We are, one thing about me, and I'm going to say this, is I stick with what I know according to God's word, and I think people should only have an open mind on secondary, third issues. On first issues pertaining to salvation, on the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, we should stick to God's word. We should always stick to God's word, even if it's a third issue. We should always stick to God's word. And what's going on is the reason why I took a break for a while is because a lot of issues came up. Something particularly came up is about the ministry and what direction we were going to go. So I took a break, and I wanted to give the other host enough time to get exposed and to get out there, get their feet wet. And now we're going to start taking off again. But the Bible talks about, tells us that we should preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And that's what we're going to do. And the only way you can prepare for that is to read God's word on a daily basis. Jesus said we have to not only live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And I believe that people should take that seriously. Very seriously, because that's telling us that we need to be reading God's word as if it was food. I mean, you don't go and starve yourself. You eat on a daily basis, and every day you're eating. So if I eat, my son comes home from school, and I swear this guy eats like he trolls. Well, we let him. He would eat like six times before dinner. He wants an afternoon snack and a pre-snack before dinner. And some of the days that he stays off from school, he eats in the morning, then he wants another snack, and then he wants an after-school snack. Wait a minute, you didn't go to school today, but I want an afternoon snack anyway. I mean, if we treat the Bible like we eat, we would be a Christian nation. Okay, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and without God, there's no way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus was God. Okay. Let me address the rapture issue before I go off the air. I'm going to say this. I think what's going on with a lot of the church. I know what I want to address. Going to church. This is what I want to address. Now, I'm not talking right now about you go to church, and going to church does not make you no more Christian than two washing dryers sitting in the garage being called a car. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm gonna say right quick is that when people say I don't go to church anymore, I really look at that as it could be a state of disobedience. And when people say they don't go to church, if you read the book of Acts, they were all together as one. the unity of Christ as one. The Bible says, do not forsake the fellowship and gathering of yourselves. We have to be a part of the body of Christ. In the natural, if I was a school student, and I belong to a high school, and someone says, why are you sitting in the parking lot? Don't you supposed to be in school? Well, I go to school. Why are you not in the school? Well, the principal comes walking out of the building and sees me sitting in my car. If I do that too many times, he's going to kick me out and say I don't belong to the body of Christ. I mean, oh, well, I accidentally gave spill the beans, what I was going to say. But, well, if you another scenario, if you played basketball and you did things opposing to what the basketball team's rules were, you wouldn't be a part of the basketball team. If you don't travel with the basketball team, you're not with the basketball team. If you don't go into the building of a high school as a student, then you're not a student. Do y'all understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say is the Bible says do not forsake the gathering of believers. And when we say, well, I don't go to church. Well, I used to go to church, but I got a friend. I'm not stepping on nobody's toes in the chat room or nothing, but I got a friend who comes up with thoughts of why he doesn't go to church or why he prefer to stay by himself, or why would he even come to me and talk to me as if I'm the church? Well, the Bible does say, well, two or three together, yeah, I mean, I'm in the midst of them. But at the same time, that does not qualify of what God is trying to say. If the Bible says in 1 John, if you hate your brother, then you're against God. You're breaking God's, what God wants you to be. So the full capability of our ability as a church, the body of Christ, I build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The way that church will stay strong is to have unity in Christ. And we will not have unity unless we are together. And I'm stepping on my own feet. We have to find a church that is maybe not perfect, but it should be perfect in doctrine with secondary issues. Just like when I say I'm a radio program, well, secondary issues, third issues ain't going to get you to hell. Well, at least third issues ain't going to get you to hell. Because sometimes secondary issues could be a first issue and we could be wrong. And also, this is something else I want to talk to. So I said I was going to go off early. This is another thing I wanted to touch on. Just because I think we should stick with the Word of God and read it. I don't think we should go and if you can get firm, if you read the Bible and you can get strong and firm on God's Word, then you can go read other people's books. But if other people's books are going to give you the history of why the rapture is not true, where you have the Bible sitting in front of you, he said to the church of Philadelphia, I will keep you out of the time of testing that is coming upon the whole world, to try the whole world. He said, I'll keep you out of. So the word church is not mentioned after chapter 4. After chapter 3. So if the word church is not mentioned anymore, then where's the church? The saints or the elect. That is, or especially in the book of Revelation, when they call themselves, what they call saints. So those are believers who just came to Christ. So the point I wanted to make is if you are reading the Word of God, don't read the Word of God to talk yourself out of something that you believe in. You do pray earnestly. to change your mind about pre-trib, post-trib, whatever you are, pray honestly that God will reveal the truth to you, because sometimes if you read something long enough, if the Spirit of God is not there, or if you just say to yourself, you start reasoning in your own mind why these things are so, I still have not had or heard a good reason why a person who believes in another dispensation of the rapture have troubles with the pre-trib rapture. I know the brother Michael tried to explain to me why, but I still don't understand why. Is it that God built a rock so big that he can't lift it? Or is it because we're sinners and Jesus didn't say it is finished on the cross, so therefore we have to get purging just like everybody else? Or is it because like I just said, okay, I'll stop there. He says it is finished on the cross. We're sinners. Now, look at Laodicea and look at Philadelphia. He says Philadelphia is weak and they're weak. That means they need him. Laodicea was rich and needed nothing. He's telling you right there, of those two, just those two churches alone, that there's conditions in the body, in the church. Not the body of Christ, but the church. He's saying that there's conditions. He said that there's conditions everywhere. He said that there's conditions in 2 Peter chapter 3. Where he said in the last days some men will be lovers of themselves, boastful, proud. Those people are in the church too. He said judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. So if judgment begins in the house of the Lord, where does it stand for the people who aren't in the house of the Lord? So God is trying to say there's a separation between the world and the believers. So to say that the wrath of God is coming on the church, well, he just told you that the church of Philadelphia, I shall keep you out of the time of testing that is coming upon the whole world. He told us he will keep us out of the time of testing. He said that he'll keep us out of the time of testing. What time of testing? That's the time of testing that's coming upon the whole world, to try the whole world. That is the tribulation period. So he's told the Church of Philadelphia, he says, he's saying, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, the person who is following God's word, not by the law, but by the Spirit, and through grace, is following God's word and practicing it, and practicing righteousness, practicing what God said through the power of the Spirit. They belong to Christ. Now, those people out there who are tricking themselves, saying, I'm saved, and through their mouths, they're speaking, I am saved. They don't have a repentant life. They don't care about what they do. They don't care about what they watch. And I've been there before. They don't care about what they're doing. They just don't care about anything pertaining to God's word. You have to study God's word. You have to walk in God's word daily. You have to walk with God. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in order to make it to heaven. So, with that being said, why would God leave the person who has a relationship with him? He protected Israel, cloud by day, because of the element, the sun, and the sun is beaming down. He protected them. They walking through the desert. Egypt gets pretty hot, I'm pretty sure. and a pillar of fire by night. So every time Israel, here's a case in point. When Moses was fighting, I can't remember what army I was fighting. He was fighting, and he had his arms held up. Two guys on the right, one on the left. He was fighting. And when he took his hands down by himself, the armies were getting defeated. When he put his hands up, arms up, they were victorious. So God told him to do this. So Moses had to have Eleazar and I think it was his brother Aaron hold his arms up and they would defeat the army. So they were obedient. He was obedient to God. So they won. But remember when Moses hit the rock because the water wouldn't come out, and he wouldn't enter the promised land just because of that. But when God, when we are obedient, well, when the Israelites were obedient to God's word, when the Israelites were obedient to God's word, they had victory. The reason why I'm saying this is because, well, let me just finish up. Lot went out the city and the rocks fell. Noah got into the ark, shut the door, and the rains were already coming before, but they got worse. Okay? So when we're living by God's word, the just shall live by faith, when we're living in God's word, he promised that, he says, and like the brother said tonight, pray that you can escape. Escape what? Escape the tribulation period. That's what he's saying. If you read the whole Bible, you'll figure it out. Escape. Escape what? The tribulation period. That's why in the Church of Philadelphia it says, I'll keep you out of the time of testing. That's why the word church is no longer mentioned, because they bought. So why do you guys want to be here? Now, I understand what the brother's saying, and I think it's going to get really bad. I think it's going to get bad enough that people are going to think that the rapture, we were right. There was no rapture. See how bad it's getting? Or see, especially for the United States. See, in third world countries, it's already bad. In third world countries, it's already bad. I mean, it's nothing good about nothing fun in Haiti at all. But to compare everybody, now, we always look at things from a Western perspective. We always look at things from an American perspective because our poorest person is rich compared to Haiti's. I ain't gonna say that. But how do you judge the church? Who judges the church? Who has the final say about the church, the condition of the church? We can't see everything. It's just, it behooves me on how some of these guys on Blog Talk Radio and everywhere else says, well, the church is wicked. Yeah, we do preach that. I do preach, hey, the church is, we are headed somewhere else where we're not supposed to be. A church that I was attending had a book series on purpose-driven. And I did not know that was preaching from purpose-driven, but I was sitting in the audience and something said to me, and I know it's the Holy Spirit, that doesn't seem right. So I was at home one day, and I was on YouTube, and they were going over the 72 weeks of love, or 72 weeks of something else. But the program at the church was 40 days of love. So I said, that sounds weird, because I just looked at a video, and then my wife looked it up on the pastor, you know, pastor information, and yeah, he got it from homeboy from Purpose Driven. And I also remember him quoting the Shack. Now, why would you quote the Shack when the fat lady is God? Well, I won't go there. But the thing is, something is wrong with the church. Like when one of the churches that I went to said that we are little gods. Well, I can't even balance my own checkbook without God's help, so I know I'm not a little god. I'm retarded. I mean, I hate to use that word for people today who ain't supposed to use the word. It's not politically correct. But, look, I need God. I'm like what I just read in the Philadelphia. It says, you have little strength and have kept my word because you gave me the strength to keep your word. Hallelujah. See, Jesus get inside of us and he lives. That's what it says in Colossians. It says, Christ lived, I think it's in Colossians, Christ living in us, the hope of glory. He's living his life through us. And living his life through us gives us power and strength to live a victorious life. But he says you have little strength to the Church of Philadelphia. He says, need it be that you kept my word, I'll keep you out of the time of testing that's coming upon the whole world. And then the word church is no longer mentioned. I don't understand. How is it that God's nature has been proven in the Old Testament to destroy nations who were disobedient, but to rescue nations who were obedient? Oh, what makes you think God's going to take us and whisk us out of here? Quit using this lady that saw a vision back in the day. I'm so tired of hearing that stuff. You just the rapture. Yeah, the word millennium is not, the word Bible is not in the Bible. Why do we use the word Bible? Quit calling it Bible. For now on, we're going to call it the Word. We're just going to call it Word. We never, matter of fact, we're going to outlaw it tomorrow. We interrupt this program to bring a further announcement. There, we will not use the word Bible again. What about abortion? Abortion is not in the Bible. Why are people so, why are we so ticked off? Why am I so ticked off? Why are you so ticked off? Why are some friends down the street so ticked off about the abortions? Huh? I don't know. Maybe. And then you're going to give me some story about somebody that saw a vision 3,000 years ago. I'm sick of this vision stuff. Just read the Bible. I believe we should read other books, but I think the Bible should be centerpiece. I guess I'm going to start quoting the Bible again because I got out of quoting the Bible because, believe it or not, back in the day, the Bible didn't have these scriptures and verses. So therefore, it kind of makes me look like I already don't know the Bible because I'm always not quoting the Bible per verse, Second Timothy 2:5 says, you know, there's only one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. I'm not quoting verbatim every second, so I'm going to get back to quoting. But I'm not trying to make anybody think I know the Bible. I'm not a genius at the Bible. You know, I'm not a great Bible scholar, but I feel that I have a message that I haven't even let out yet. I feel that I have a message that I have not. I'm like someone who is trapped, and I have a lot of talent, but I can't let it go. I mean, and I'm ready to let it go, but I have to do it by the Spirit of God. And it's not about how much I know about the Bible. Yeah, I do know a lot about my Bible. The Bible I have is tearing up. But did I read the Kings, 1 Kings and 2 Kings? I skipped some of those babies because I'm like, I love 1 Kings, 2 Kings, actually, and 1st and 2nd Samuel. But when it gets to Chronicles and stuff like that, I'm like, you know, but I want to get through that. So what I'm going to do is I've never been through the whole Bible straight, but I've been through the whole Bible. Now, I understand the whole Bible. See, what I believe is this is how I do it. I would read two books in the New Old Testament, and then I would read Genesis. Like, this is what I would do. This is what I was doing. I would read Genesis and Exodus, Joshua and Judges, or Judges and Joshua. I would read two of the Minor Prophets and two of the New Testament. And then I would do that, constantly, but then I would skip around the Bible, but the Bible comes together. Now, I'll probably try to do the whole thing straight through, but I've read the Bible. Now, some books I've read 20,000 times, some books I only read like 2 times. Okay? God is good. God, look at the United States, folks. I mean, come on. The United States is an awesome nation, and I'm pretty sure that I'm sorry to say we were going, pretty soon we're going to be saying we were, what happened to the great United States. And it's not the doggone Babylon, falling, the great Babylon with kings and captains are looking on the ship. That's the whole world system. But the United States will be looked at like that too, just like every other great empire. The United States is the greatest empire ever, and I think it's going to be toppled by the Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire, which will be looked at. But the United States is a great nation. I'm 42 years old, and I don't have any complaints. If anything, I didn't do enough to succeed, and I'm glad I didn't, because had I succeed too much, maybe I wouldn't be thinking about God and his great love for me and you all. And God does not want any to perish, but come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going to save you, but Jesus wants you to be his once you're saved. And that's something being left out of a lot of churches, is that we belong to Christ once we give our hearts to him. And our whole life should be dedicated. Well, my next show, I'm going to talk about once saved, always saved. Yes, I do believe that you can be one. I believe that you, if God only knows who's truly saved. So through his foreknowledge, he knows who's saved. So when God looks down on the earth, he sees the person. He knows through history, through his foreknowledge, and that's what the Bible says. So we on the ground don't know. So why do people preach that, he's saved, but he walked away from God? Well, if he's a true convert, he's going to come back. See, and the Bible says that God never, he would never lose any of them. So God, through his foreknowledge, knows who is truly saved. See, God made us. He created us, so he knows the heart of man and the intentions of man's heart, so he knows they're going to come back to him. But there can be people who are not really truly saved, and it looks exactly like they're saved, and they never were saved. And I can't explain it. And I think it's unfair to try to even explain that, because I can't walk up to somebody and say, you're truly saved, you're not. You're truly saved, you're not. And I don't think it should be a doctrine off of foreknowledge. But anyway, God bless people out there. We're going to be praying for everybody. We're going to be praying that people get saved. And I think the next couple of months and years will be trying for the whole world. Don't think that you're going to get a free ride out of here, church, because it's going to get rocky before the rapture of the church. And yes, I'm a preacher, rapture person. But it's going to get rocky. Don't get so rocky that people are going to think that there was no rapture. Okay? God bless everybody out there. Thank y'all for coming in the chat room, Revival Fire. Minister Grock, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Snake Chaser, Thinking Theology. Thank y'all for coming. Guest 4672. Whoever, I'm a bondage breaker. Thank you for coming on. I'm going to talk to Revival Fire sometime this week, or maybe about coming on my show and talking. Also, Snake Chaser, I saw you a few times. God bless y'all. Thinking Theology also, I think I already said your name, but God bless y'all, and y'all have a wonderful, wonderful night. And, yes, we will be talking more about the gospel, and we will be talking about many other things. But God bless y'all, and y'all have a wonderful day. Bye-bye. God bless.